One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What's happening out there, friends? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. You found us. It's me. It's Cam. And of course, with Cam, there's always Kyle. So here's Kyle over here beside me.
I'm doing good, man. I'm here. That's right. I'm here. We're under a quarantine, strict quarantine right now. The COVID-19 blues.
Right.
So everybody's been singing and going nuts, man. I hope everybody listening to this is being careful out there, because this is scary. This is like something I've never experienced in my entire life. I know none of you probably have either.
I've lived through three. I don't know what you're talking about.
It is wild, man.
I keep waiting for the 28 Days Later or the new Netflix. Well, it's actually season two.
It's
Kingdom. They're sprinting zombies. I'm waiting for sprinting zombies to spring up.
It's strange, man. I mean, everybody. Look, I get when there's something like this, a quarantine happening, people rushing to buy meat.
Yeah.
People rushing to buy, you know, the staples, you know, meat, eggs, milk, flour, things like salt, sugar, things like that. I don't understand the toilet paper.
Hey, if you take it in, it's got to go out. You got to clean it up, bro.
Oh, no, but like, why? There's been lots of other things, you know, when it comes to like winter storms and stuff. I've never seen a run on toilet paper. Like, I never even thought of that as being something I really needed.
Just because you're uncouth and unclean doesn't mean the rest of the world is.
Well, doesn't most of the world, like 80% of the world, doesn't use toilet paper? I think it's just like Americans.
I don't know.
That's why like bidets and stuff were popular.
I drag my butt in the grass.
Yeah, I need to. We need to get a sponsorship going with Hello Tushy or whatever that is. I remember they approached us like 8 months ago, and I was like, "Nah, I don't think we're going to endorse that." Now I wished I did.
Have some cleanup. Cleanup.
Yeah, I need to talk to the girls over there at Audio Boom.
Well, I hope everybody, is staying
scary.
Healthy, staying safe, Look, and let's just settle down. Let's just see what happens. You know what I mean? I mean, it's bouncing around all over the world. Let's just see what happens and see where it goes from here. I do hope. I worry about all the people, bartenders and waiters and waitresses, and I worry about all of those people when they start really shutting down those. I mean, because they make the majority of their money off tips.
Absolutely.
And then you close it all down. If there's anything I can say that we've made sure we make good practice here is, and I know this is wrong to say because people have, you know, everybody owns a business, but the mom and pop shops and local restaurants, because there's a bunch here in the town we live in, and they're very nice, and they've closed, of course, their dining area. So it's takeout only. So if you're going to eat, support the people that help support the town you live in, you know, really,
I agree.
It's just one of those deals. But other than that, everybody let's just settle down and let's be nice to each other and make sure we check on the old folks.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure you're washing your hands, you know,
now that's overrated. You don't got to worry about that.
But like, this is going to really change things. I think from here on out, not just with that, but like I was thinking today when I was driving, like our kids are out normally for a week for spring break. Well, they've extended it because of this coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So they're out for 3 weeks, and it may be even extended longer than that. So they've already canceled like important tests that they normally take. This is going to change, I think, the future from here on out, because what I think we're going to realize after coming out of this is do our kids really need to go to like a brick and mortar school, or is this that I'm like just like online universities where like, nah, I mean, I know there's homeschooling. I know that people do that, but I think this might make that more popular because you're going to be like, well, what are we going to the school for? If we can do everything at home, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one of my children is very sociable. He would die if he couldn't go to school because he's got to talk to all his buddies. He's got to talk to his girlfriends and try to show off. My other one is more like a recluse. He could care less. I think Caleb would be perfect for homeschool because he talks about all he does all day is get his work done. Then he's bored. He reads his book, goes to the next class, hurry up and gets his work done, gets his book and reads his book. He says half the day he's just bored to death and he makes straight A's.
Yeah. In AP classes.
In AP courses. So like, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm saying
they didn't get it from you.
It would help. No, they didn't. No, they're adopted.
They didn't get it from you.
for him, it would be, I think it would benefit him. I talked to my wife about this during, because of this, like, I think for him, it would benefit him if he could knock the work out and then be done with it and then have the rest of the day. But anyways, hope everybody's being safe out
my,
there.
My job doesn't change. I know a lot Mine of people's jobs either. Does. My job doesn't change at all because it is required. Now, they have released things where they are talking about here in the municipality, and I'm sure there's other cities and towns doing the same, where they are talking about if it gets continues the way it is, they'll go down to non-essential personnel. And I make a joke that I am non-essential when it was coming bad weather, because it's not something that – but bad weather doesn't last weeks. It lasts a day or two,
right?
And then that's it. Like, so non-essential – they don't mean non-essential in that form. Is like, my, I still have to get my job. Yeah, like I can miss a day or two, right? And then other than that, there's a problem. So, yeah, I don't, nothing's going to change for me.
Luckily for me, I work from home as well. Part of me, though, is kind of freaked out about how serious this is. Part of me is like the conspiracy theorist in me is like, man, maybe this is way more deadly than they're letting on because, you know, there's been lots of other scares out there from the bird, avian flu and all that stuff. No, they've never shut down everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Shut down everything. So I'm like, but they're saying it only kills like really old people, people with compromised immune systems. So why is it that I can't even go to the, I can't even go to Olive Garden in my neighborhood because of this? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's very severe.
You're not old, but, and speaking of, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Right now, I feel good. So that's another question I've been getting a lot of. People were asking, because I was recently hospitalized, did I have the coronavirus? And I don't think I did, because I know that's one of the first things they did to me when I went in. They asked me if I'd been out of the country. They asked me if I'd traveled anywhere. And I told them, of course, about Arizona. But, and they tested me for the flu. And I want to say the coronavirus. I'm pretty sure they did. Now, I had a lot of morphine in me at the time, so it's kind of hazy.
Right.
But I was asking my wife about it, and I'm pretty sure they tested me for that. Because that's what a lot of people have been, because of this.
Yeah.
They're like, man, did you have that? I was like, kind of hope I did, because now I'd have the antibodies to fight it. Like,
now you're
I already made it through.
Dodge that
but
bullet.
Like I was talking to my wife, I was in a vehicle with you and Brandon for 12 hours there, 12 hours back. If I had that, you guys would have contracted it as well.
Not to mention the amount of time.
We're sharing the same air.
We also spent just, together the whole week. So, yeah.
Yeah, but we were outdoors, but in the car for sure. Because they're talking about if you're in a room with somebody, you can catch
this. Oh, yeah. We would have. And then, I mean, you would always kiss me goodnight.
Yeah.
I mean, that was.
Right.
You know,
and my girlfriend, she didn't get sick. I mean.
That's right. Yeah. So, no, you didn't. We still don't know exactly what it was. But, yeah, you just, some crazy pneumonia jumped on him.
Yeah. So, I know people are tired of hearing about the coronavirus. So, since we're all quarantined and penned up in our house, let's get into our favorite subjects. Let's talk about some paranormal news,
bro. Let's do this. I'm down.
What do you got anything, or do you want me to go first?
I got you. Okay. I got you right here, because this is something that I know you're going to like. Gliding gnomes manifest and then vanish.
I love me some gnomes.
Apparently, a woman and her husband, who were actually outside observing the stars, here it said she looked across the property and noticed two small older men that she described later as gnomes. Lon posted this up and knows we're going to like it. Let us know about this. And if you go there and look, our ad's even at the bottom of it. So I knew that he was wanting us to discuss this. It says this. This is from TR. Just wanted to let you know that in early July of 2018, my wife saw some little people. Now, she's never been into anything like this, and it scared her. We came in rather late, and after bringing stuff in, I looked up and saw a beautiful view of the Milky Way. We live out in the woods, and there's not much light pollution, so we have a good view of the night sky, and so I turned off the porch light. Well, after viewing the sky, she looked a little distance across our storm cellar, and she froze and said, "What is that?" I asked her, and she said it looked like two small, older men, not exactly walking, but kind of gliding. She said they seemed happy, and that when they noticed that she noticed them, their eyes narrowed, and they disappeared. She was really frightened, and when I questioned her, she was adamant about what she saw. She's never studied fairy mythology, and I told her it went along with some of the stuff I've read. I, unfortunately, did not see them. Just wanted to pass this along to you. Now, the next day, I pulled up fairy pictures on the internet, and she said the closest resemblance to the pic is gnomes. So keep up all the great work, guys. Respectfully, TR.
Yeah, I saw that. When TR sent that in, I thought I was excited. I forwarded it to Lon and posted on the thing. I was very excited because I love the story, and this is what happens so many times. You know, you're going to know exactly where I'm going.
Here we go. Yeah.
they notice you noticing yep. them. And yep. that's when they either like blink out of existence or.
So what does that, it tells me they're always there.
That's what I like to think.
You and I have discussed this to no ends after all these years. And with all of you listening, that's the only way that they would know that they were being seen or they were involved is if they were always there.
Yeah, I like,
and that they were just like, why are they seeing us this time? Maybe we're not concentrating hard enough. Maybe the batteries are going dead on my interdimensional device. Cloaking watch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but it is.
I don't know.
And yeah.
even he was like, man, yeah. his wife saw it. I wish he didn't, but it's almost like, man, I wish I could have seen that.
I'm with him. I'm with him 100%. But she noticed it and it instantly was like, it's, you know, what is it like we've talked before? They always say that when you start paying attention to the test changes, yeah, you know, yeah, whatever they talk yeah. about that. It's like this, because every time you hear about it, it's like this thing, like she really focused on and had a sudden jolt of energy or emotion that it picked up on, these gnomes picked up on. And that's when they were like, oh, what? Like, yeah. no, we got to get out of here. And then that was that.
Man, I like that story. Thanks for sending that in. This is just synchronicity. Synchronicity.
I don't know. I like synchronicity.
That's it from now on. That's the word we're going to choose.
We're going to use synchronicity.
There was another sighting, this time by another possible fae folk.
Yes.
This person says, when I was young, maybe 7 or 8, I was in the forest on my family's land. I always escaped from troubles at home by running into nature. So to set the scene, little me is sitting in a tree, long blonde hair tangled with limbs and leaves from running through the woods. All of a sudden, I hear someone. It sounds nothing like anyone I know singing very beautifully. And with the stupidity or curiosity only a stupid child who loved to sing herself could muster, I went to go investigate. Now, as I drew closer, I could hear better. And I realized that the singing is actually in a different language. It is the most beautiful voice I have ever heard. It felt like it took forever to get to the source. But in reality, I hadn't traveled that far, just over a couple of hills. That's when I saw her. Her hair was silvery. She was very slender and was heartbreakingly beautiful. She was dancing, eyes closed, face upturned, and singing. I was entranced. I walked closer, and then she suddenly went still. She sniffed the air and smiled at me. I remember being so happy that she was smiling. I don't know if that was because I never got much truly positive attention as a child or if it was something else, but I do remember reaching out my arm and walking towards her. I wanted to stay with her forever. I got closer to her and she sniffed again. Suddenly, she stopped smiling. She opened her eyes and said something to me in this unknown language. I noticed her eyes were completely black, not hollow, but just like a pupil with no color or white. She said whatever she said the first time again, more forcefully, and I finally said, I'm sorry. I don't understand. It was then that she said something sounding angry. I noticed another thing that should have made me scared, but it didn't. Her teeth were kind of sharp looking. Anyways, she started to walk away. I ran up and I said something like, don't leave. And I remember when I touched her, I felt, well, I don't know how to explain it. Kind of like I was home. And well, I guess what I imagine energy must feel like. It was then that she looked at me kind of surprised and interested and then stepped back a bit, gave me another small smile, and vanished into the side of a steep hill. I went back for days, weeks, and months, hoping she would make a return, possibly even take me with her. I never saw her again. I'm not sure what she was, a fairy or the fae folk you talk about. I don't know, but my grandfather on my mother's side is from Ireland, and when I told him, he told me that's exactly what I saw, was the fae. Thanks for all you do, Janessa.
That is makes me think of, what's her name, Tariel, the female, the little woodland elf. I'm trying to think, the girl that plays her in the movie The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, right. in Peter Jackson's version, remember she's...
Yes.
What is that? She's a Canadian actress. I forgot her name.
I can see the picture mind clearly.
That's what it reminds me. When you start talking about how beautiful she is and how this, the whole thing, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then, but when they start talking about the sharp teeth, you're like, yeah, that's the dark side of them a little bit. Like you can't, they're not 100% sweet.
Well, yeah, I just, you hear the same thing. You oftentimes people who have encounters with fae folk talk about, they hear music. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I've never experienced that. I picture, like, in my mind, a harp for some reason.
Yeah.
The sound of a harp.
String band. You picture a string and flutes, like real low playing flutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I that's what I picture in my mind. But that's the thing. They talk about hearing beautiful music or incredibly beautiful singing.
Mm-hmm.
And
which draws you near it.
Draws you in. But
then you end up drinking their wine and eating of their bread, and then you become part of missing 411.
Yeah. Yeah. In this case, the fae folk, the sprite, whatever you want to call it, disappeared into the side of a hillside, like it just stepped through a portal of some kind.
Now, and we hear that a lot, that there's like mm-hmm. trees and rocks and all that that we can't travel through. And to us, of course, it's all in the three-dimensional world that we live in. You look at that and you're like, it's just a rock. But is it? You know, is it one of those things that you have to have a certain vibration in, like the fae, that you can actually just walk through the portal? Because that's a natural way to keep it, for keeping us out.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's, if I could see, of all the cryptids and things that we talk about on the show, or aliens, or I think the fae folk would be the most enjoyable to experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like a lot of people are fearful. They don't sound like the Duendes are coming to kill you like the Krites on the movie Critters. You know, they roll like a ball. They sound kind of nice.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that. Now, speaking of sprites or fae folk, I think we've received a couple of emails about, like, the long-haired Native American little people that you talked about one episode, that I think that we probably are going to organize and release in an upcoming show.
Yeah, we've gotten a few of those in where there's other people. I heard one on the Sasquatch Chronicles. I heard somebody else talk about seeing them.
Oh, yeah?
Like, yeah, there's a few of these that are...
The tiny hunters?
Yeah, the little tiny hunters that people are seeing. So I don't know. It, like we've talked about, it doesn't, I don't know, it feels, it's almost like the land that time forgot. Like they just kind of peek into it, looking through the window at that.
Man, I find that so interesting. Speaking of tiny hunters or Native American sprites, skinwalkers. We get stories from time to time about skinwalkers, and this fellow thinks that he saw one time when he was younger. He said, this happened a few years ago when I was 18. I'm 22 now. I took a drive up a canyon near my house. I live in Utah, for reference, and it was late, somewhere between 1 and 3 a.m. I just needed time to clear my head. I was dating a girl, but it was kind of complicated, the situation, and the night drives really seemed to help me with my thoughts. So I'm driving along, listening to a CD. The radio doesn't work well up there, and I had no cell service. Anyways, I rounded a corner, and there was a dead deer in the middle of the road. This wasn't really weird. This stuff like this happens all the time. Anyways, I stopped my car. I was in a weird spiritual or very nature-oriented phase of my life and wanted to walk over and just pay my respects to the animal before driving around it. Well, that might have been a mistake. I stepped out of my car and I take a few steps forward when the deer in the road got up. It looked like it was dead, don't get me wrong, but this thing sprawled up the way dead animals do. It didn't look like it was resting, and even stranger, the thing stood up on only two legs.
Not good.
The way a human would. At this time, I experienced the most intense sense of panic I've ever felt in my life. It literally felt like my heart stopped. I booked it back into my car, and I shipped it around as fast as I could. I had to make a two-point turn, as the road was pretty narrow. I started walking towards the... I mean, it, not me. It started walking towards the car slowly. I didn't want to look back. I must have been going 75 miles an hour down the canyon, only slowing down for sharp turns. My goal was to get back to the city. Now, as I was exiting the canyon, I saw the same deer-like creature. I know it's the same one because the thing was still standing only on its hind legs. It beat me down there. How did it beat me down there? I don't know, and I still don't. I drove back to the town that I lived in, and I did not return to that canyon. So this person thinks they saw a skinwalker.
It's definitely something creepy like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, how could the deer stand up on its two legs? But he mentioned that he was in a weird spiritual and nature-oriented phase of his life at the time. and he wanted to get out and approach the dead deer in the road mm-hmm. and pay it some type of respect. Was the skinwalker, if that's what this was it just laying in the road in wait, hoping that somebody would happen by so they could spring an attack on it? Was it resting? Did it sense that this person had goodness in his heart and was trying to pay respect? Because he doesn't say that the thing tried to attack him. It didn't claw the side of the car or use its antlers to try to break the window. I mean, it got up and started walking towards him. He freaked out.
I wish people could see the reenactment that you're doing in here while you're trying to explain it.
They will soon, because we're fixing to do some videos. Mary and them have been prepping the studio.
I think that's hilarious.
You like the? Yeah, I'm very animated with my hands. Yeah, I think it helps me tell the story.
He's moving his head around like he's breaking the window.
I'm thinking of antlers, right? Rattling around. I don't know.
That's a good point. Is there's a lot of stuff has to go in to make that story work. If it's a skinwalker, if it's just some odd cryptid creature
or just some odd hallucination,
yeah, then it's a complete random thing. But in order for it to be a skinwalker, it would one have to know the guy was coming that way. It would have to sense that he was going to be able to lure him out of the car. It goes back into that crazy fae folk feeling.
And then he was driving out of there and thing teleported to the bottom of the canyon.
Yeah, waiting on him again. That makes me feel more fae than skinwalker. Because to me, all the skinwalker stories that we've covered and the things that we've learned about them is the skinwalkers are more flesh and blood.
Yeah.
You know?
They're like a lycanthrope.
Yeah. Whereas the fae can phase in and out of things. Like phase Tron in phase one or whatever.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So I don't know. One thing I do know, I don't want to see that.
No, I don't think I'd be down with a skinwalker.
I'm out on any stuff like that. The real creepy stuff, I'm out on. I'm also out on this. This says here, and you're going to like this, Kyle. It says, my name's Tony. My mom and her gran were walking to the shops in Catford in southeast London in 1976.
Good year.
My mom was 7 at the time. On the way to the shops, they swear that they saw bright lights in the sky.
No,
exactly.
Yeah, no, not good. Never good.
It was a round-like shape with lots of colored lights on it. They just stopped to watch it. Then the lights were gone. So they walked to the shops. When they got to the shops, they were all closed. Yeah. They made their way back home, and when they got home, everyone wanted to know where they had been.
I see where you're going with this.
They told them that they were gone for 4 hours. They left the house at 3 and got home just after 7. The shops were 5 minutes from the house. They told the family about what happened on the way to the shop and that they saw the bright lights in the sky and that it was round and all the colored lights. And the family told them that they should never tell anyone outside of this group. And for years, my mom has always wondered what happened to them on that day. Where did her and her mother go at for all that time? They just remember seeing the lights, which they say lasted for about 10 minutes, and then they just decided to start walking towards the shops.
Yeah,
that's where it ends.
They were abducted.
They
were taken.
But look.
Thank God they don't remember that part.
Well, you know how hard that would be to have that stuck in your mind?
You'd always wonder.
Always wonder. And I wouldn't want to know still, but yeah, 4 hours. And of course, this is way back before cell phones. For all you young ones listening, before this is the kind of panic that you would induce when you didn't come home and you said you were going to, is because nobody knew where you were at. You know where you're at? Abducted. That's what happens. You get abducted by aliens when you stay out late. Yeah. Madness. All right. Well, we said we weren't going to be taking breaks.
That's right. Yeah. Short one.
We can't throw music in there. We can't do all that stuff. So I don't even know what to say. I guess we just throw some sound effects in here and then go on from there. I don't even know what to do now.
We do this. Let's take a break. Stick with us. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. See?
That's how easy that works, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how easy that works. Yeah. Look, I'm with you. It's weird. Is it not? It's strange.
It's strange after doing it the same way for almost 7 years and then switching it up a little bit.
But we have to. Like we've told everybody, like, look, I hate to have to. But we have to.
Man, because YouTube with the copyright strikes and Spotify. And, like, we have permission from Pretty Lights, but even that is, like, it's a pain. You send it to somebody.
Yeah.
There's not really a person. I mean, it's like, a computer program that's finding that stuff. It's just a big hassle. And also, all those years ago when we got permission from Derek, I don't think podcasts were much of a thing. So they're like, oh, sure, go ahead and use it. I bet if we asked now, they'd probably be like, no.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have to pay some royalties.
But yeah.
We're kind of like, what do they call, grandfathered in. Yeah. But YouTube and Spotify and stuff like that, they're not buying that stuff.
They don't care. So we have to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's all right. So, like Pretty Lights, you can go to his website.
Yeah. It's not like we won't keep promoting.
Download the music. It's free. Free. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to buy his music. He gives it away. So.
And we can still use the music on the Elite show. We just won't be able to use it on this show. So that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So on Twitter recently, we had a fella sent, I think his name was Rodney on Twitter. Of course, we have no idea of knowing if that's the real name or not. But he had tweeted us about some hiking trails in Texas that you could go see ghosts at. So that sent me spiraling down this path of strange, of course, things. Now, before I get into that part, I got to tell you about something. For those that live in Oklahoma, there is a place in Oklahoma called Veterans Lake. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Veterans Lake. Now, this is what's funny to me is because I have a cousin up there, and he likes to go walking and jogging around this
yogging.
Lake. Yogging. I'm sorry. Walking and yogging around this lake all the time. This where he gets down is right around here, right?
Same place,
and,
huh?
Oh, yeah. And he's the one that actually commented on the link for this thing that led me to it, that I was like, wait, what? Because he goes, I had no idea. And this is what the headline states. This lake in Oklahoma is one of the most haunted places in America, and you'll want to think twice before swimming in it. So for those of you that live around there that may not know, this is going to be a place for you to check out. It talks about pretty much this. It's as if you're wondering what could be so scary about the lake, you're going to listen to this whole thing and go through it. It's reported one of the creepiest places in the state of Oklahoma. They say it's possessed, the entire lake, by the spirit of a lady who drowned in the lake while trying to save her child, who also died alongside her. Now, I would like to know the number of these stories that we've heard of women that have drowned either with their children or trying to save their children. This is another one of those tales that seems to get told over and over.
Now, where are the men when all this happens? It's just like, ah.
Yeah. Not swimming, apparently. Not looking after the kids, apparently, is what they were doing.
You can't swim. You're bound to drizzon, I guess. I mean, they never talk about a man trying to do it.
That's
because right.
He wasn't watching, and the kids got in the lake, and the mom had to go rescue him. He lost them both.
It's terrible, man. They got to step up their dad's game.
Yeah, exactly. So the story goes on that if you're out there in the evening, in dark, that there's a chance that the ghosts of this little girl and of this lady can be seen in the lake. And it's there, he said, you know, that if you go into the water, there's a chance that you can be pulled under and drown. Some people have even reported seeing her figure gliding across the top of the water.
Like barefoot water skiing?
Like water skiing, barefoot and across the top of the water on this whole deal. Now, I don't know about you, but you talk about freaking out. Now, there's another part, too, that they say after all this stuff went down that another little girl drowned in the lake. She fell out and drowned out of a boat years ago for this accidental drowning. And that she's also added to it, that this lake is full of darkness and sadness is what they keep talking about. Now they say there's 3 miles of shoreline around this lake and it's great for daytime, but especially in the evening, it's beautiful out there for walking, bike riding, and yes, yogging around this lake. So this is one of those things. I'm like, man, I remember this whole deal. I remember, you know, I thought it was funny because our cousin, he's really not into this kind of thing. So whenever he was like, I had no idea. I just wonder it always makes me wonder when you see these things, these stories about these areas, the people that visit these areas that had no idea of the history, they never see anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, is it in your mind? Because he literally grew up around this lake,
never been around it
for years and had no clue this stuff was talked about. And has never seen anything, never experienced anything out there or not.
I totally understand what you're saying, because there's probably been fae folk walking around me in the wild all the time. I'm just not paying attention because I'm a dummy.
Completely oblivious.
They're like throwing rocks at me and I'm just completely oblivious to it.
Now, if some of you may have remembered this, Kyle, you and I actually discussed this. Man, I want to say it's been when I was talking about the hiking, but we also discussed it when we were driving through El Paso as the Lost Dog Trailhead.
Mm.
And you remember that where they talked about where the guy lost his dog and then he goes out looking for it and then he dies and they never find the dog and the dude dies on the trail. And then the story goes that they keep seeing the ghost dog, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of ghost dogs. So that's another one that's out there. There's apparently one that there's a place called Battlefield Trail in Brownsville, Texas.
I never heard of that.
I did not either. So apparently this is an area that the trains in the trailhead area was used by American and Mexican soldiers during the Mexican-American War over Texas. And of course, they've turned it into a park, which I'm sure it's probably beautiful. And they go on to say that there is soldier, like you may see ghosts of soldiers that are in that area that I guess maybe that was a good time of passing through. Not a battle really, but like a passing through area that they had fun or whatnot like that. There's also been some strange things where people have spotted in the middle of the night, like out there at the park, what they called miniature humanoids. So I don't know if they're talking about fae or
toddlers.
Yeah. Exactly.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what they're actually getting into when they talk about that. There's even a story that they went and got psychics to go check it out and the whole thing to see if it was real. And everybody there is like, no, I think it's real, except for the people, of course, that live there. And the people that live there in Brownsville that all go out and ride their bikes and runs claim they've never seen or experienced anything. So again, we don't really know if it's a story that's told by somebody else or if it's something that's like for real, for real. Now I've been here and so have you, is the River Place, the nature trail in Austin.
Yep.
It's beautiful down in there. They claim that that place is haunted. Now, yet again, I had no clue. And so I've never seen, experienced, or felt anything when we've been down there. And I'm assuming you haven't either.
No. And I've been to Austin hundreds of times.
Yes.
We used to go there all the time when we were in our 20s and party it up and things like that. I've seen lots of things, especially there on 6th Street.
I've seen a lot of things in Austin. Never a ghost.
Never saw a ghost.
Never saw a ghost, man. And I've seen a lot of things in Austin. Not one was a ghost.
Never a ghost.
I do like that they point out, and I've never been here, and you and I have talked about going to White Rock Lake and doing something on the lady again over there, but the Cedar Ridge Preserve in Dallas is another one of these places that I had no idea. So it says that it has a number of hiking trails for varied experience levels, right? So it's good for everybody, anybody that wants to get in. And it says it's also there, if you're the type that likes ultralight backpacking, you're going to love these trails too. So they talk about how scenic it is, this, that, and the other. So apparently people start saying that they get out there. You're going to like this. You get out there and you start noticing a problem keeping up with your sense of time.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if it means like time slips or if it means one of those like a vortex, the vital vortices, like it's got you all messed up. I don't know if that's what they're talking about. Here's something that's strange. There's people have reported that they have what they refer to as almost surgical-like cuts on their ankles and on their wrists whenever they come back from hiking down there.
What?
So
I was like, I was just about to want to go. I mean, like, if I can experience a time slip, let's pack up. I'll get my Kefaru pack.
Right, we'll go for it.
And we'll go do some hiking. But not if I'm going to get, like, what's the guy on Pet Cemetery, the first one where he gets the back of his Achilles heel sliced open with a scalpel. Yeah. No, thanks. I'm not down with that.
Well, just wasn't there a show? There was one of the ghost shows years ago where they had like a guy was getting scratched by the poltergeist girl that was in their house or something like that.
I think I vaguely remember what you're talking about. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of them like that.
That's what it makes me think of the minute they start talking about this kind of stuff. That's when I'm like, man, what if that's what's going on there? Is there's a poltergeist in the woods in this whole area?
Or was it somebody to just like walk through some heavy briars?
Well, that's another thing.
Like, oh man, look at these scratches. I mean, but
that's another thing. Also, apparently there is a place called Herman Park Trail in Houston, Texas. Yeah. In Houston. They talk about how it goes along beside the golf course down there, which we happen to know somebody used to run that bad boy till they moved up here. Doggone it. Beautiful golf courses down around Houston. They talk about all the joggers and walkers and dog walkers and all this stuff that come down there and hang out. The story goes down there in this area that certain parts of this trail are haunted and that this spirit will actually try and communicate with you. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It says here that it will whisper greetings to you. And it's
welcome
also been known.
Space City.
Right. It's also been known. Do you like Paul Wall,
Slim
like
Thug,
Scarface, and the Ghetto Boys.
Right. Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, Riff Raff. you don't like Riff Raff?
Who doesn't?
Right? How to Be the Man. And then it's talked about how that you feel the cold spots. Like they'll be individually cold, that'll give you chills when you go through it down there on these hiking paths. So it always, I've walked through cold spots while I've been like hunting and hiking, but I never think about ghosts.
I never have either.
Until recently, until the last few years. And every time I walk through one, I'm like, man, that wasn't good. You know, you just instantly panic on that whole deal. So I laughed about all that stuff because I'm like, man, I didn't know those were there. I'm going to have to go check them out like we've discussed. Well, then there is a young lady that sent this in and this whole deal and tagged me in it. And I had no idea this was as close as it was. And this young lady is an art teacher here in the town we live in. Her name is Carrie Howard. I love this woman very, very much. Her and her family are amazing people. Known them for a long, long time. She sent this in. And I want to ask you if you've ever heard of McDowell Hole.
I've heard of McDowell's off of Coming to America. Remember, that's the Golden Arcs, not the Golden Arches.
That's right.
It's not McDonald's, it's McDowell's.
That's right.
Outside of that, no, I've never that's heard of it, that.
I had never heard of this either. It is actually down in between Stephenville and Dublin. I believe there's a little town down there, a little stop in the road area called Alexander. But it's down outside of Dublin, Texas.
I'm very familiar with Dublin and Stephenville.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. So this is how the story goes, all right? At least part of it to kind of bring you up to speed of what's happened down there. It says in the 1860s, Jenny and Charlie Papworth, so Charlie and his wife Jenny, and their infant son was named Temple, made a treacherous journey to what is now known as Alexandria, Texas. So let's just say down by Dublin, all right? And they bought some land down there by Charlie's cousin. His name was Jim McDowell. And there they built a cabin just 200 yards from Green Creek. And Green Creek would later be known as McDowell's Hole. And settled down right there. So 5 years goes by, and they're living their best life. They're, you know, their 1865 life's what they're living, their best life right now. And they're getting their second kids on the way. But not long after they had the child, Charlie gets bad words from his parents, or from people around his parents, that his mother and father had passed away. So, of course, he's upset. But in their will, he received all of their, get a load of this, of their furniture. So back then, that's a big thing, right? You have to imagine.
Yeah.
That's a big, big deal. Well, the only way they can take it was by train, and Texarkana was at the end of the line. So you've got to imagine, back in 1865 now, you have to go from Dublin, Texas, roughly, Stephenville for those or whatnot, that's south of us about an hour, 200 miles to Texarkana to get this furniture. So you're going to have to get a wagon train, basically, and you're going to have to roll that sucker to Texarkana, wait there for the train depot to unload all your stuff, and then drive it all back, right?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what Charlie does. He makes arrangements for the furniture to get shipped, and then he sets off in the wagon to go get it. Now, apparently, this was not the best of ideas because, of course, there's cattle rustlers. All that stuff bothered him. So he insists that Jenny and his children not sleep at home. So they have, because they would have a routine, they would know that she was there by herself. So Jenny stayed in the cabin by day, it says here, preparing for winter and caring for the kids. And then at night, she would bundle up the children and ride to either McDowell's, the cousins, or Keith's place. So she's going to stay with family is what she's doing and won't stay the night there. So it says about a month after Charlie's departure. Now, mind a month. How far can you go? You got 200 miles to make up. I know hiking, if you make good time hiking with light pack, you can cover 20 miles a day.
Yeah, even that's tough.
That's very tough. You've got to be in hike shape, you know, to knock out 20 miles a day. So if you were doing that, so undoubtedly, they're not doing 20 miles a day because you'd go, it's a 400-mile round trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at what, I don't know why Charlie's gone so long. Obviously, he's not making 20 miles a day.
No.
Is what he's not making because he's been gone a month. So after all that time, Jenny and the children one night didn't show up at McDowell's for the night, right? Have no idea. So they go and they talk to Miss Keith the very next day, the McDowell's do. And they're like, hey, did she come there because we didn't see him? And they're like, no, we thought she stayed with you last night. And they're like, no, her and the kids didn't come here. So they both panic. So the women go get their horses, load up on the horses, and ride over to Papworth's, to Charlie's and Jenny's place, right? And they went, okay, we get up to the cabin. They said when they got there, nothing seemed crazy. Nothing seemed like, you know, like it had had a struggle, no scuffle. Nothing was messed up. Everything looked normal. They said nothing seemed out of place and crazy, but they said nobody would answer the door. So they get the cabin open and they go in and said, there's not a sign one that Jenny or the kids, but all was not right. They said when they finally got in there, they could tell that there had been a little bit of a misunderstanding somewhere, and there was some overturned chairs, and then they found a small drop of blood on the floor. So right then, they already panic, right? So outside, nothing's beat up, you know, because lots of times back in the day, if they would kill you and rob you, they would burn your cabin down around you too.
And that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So they were like, nothing. So they didn't know what, so they're freaking out. They said the sound of a sob from under the bed brought them some hope. They found the 5-year-old Temple hiding underneath there. And I said that the little boy attempted to talk, but was never able to get a coherent speech out to tell them what had happened to his mom and his little brother. He was just too tore up. So that's awful. You got to, you know, the little boy, poor little kid, five. He's 5 years old.
Yeah.
Witnesses all this, hiding under the bed. They find him. The wives, you know, take him. They go get the husbands. The husbands go get and gather up a whole big group. And they get a search party and they start going after him. Well, they said finally there was a guy named Brownlow. And Brownlow, they said, was a big man. And they said soon pointed the finger, he did, at the Comanche Indians. He started saying, well, it's the Comanches. And, of course, we've discussed it in the other books. And, you know, it was a big deal that we've talked about. And the things we've read as far as the Comanches, it's a big thing here in Parker County. So he's like, it's got to be the Comanches. They're the ones that did it. But the problem is nobody had reported Comanches in this area. Now, that is Comanche country where you're talking about going. It's all this whole area down here. So for the Comanches to be there, it's not unheard of. But at this point, it was unheard of. They're like, dude, we don't know any of this, right?
Yeah, the town of Comanche isn't that far away.
No, not at all. So he's like, and of course, that's what he did the minute he throws it off on there. But because they said he was so persistent in naming them and being over the top about making sure that they were seen as guilty, people started going, why is he working so hard to find that?
Looks guilty himself.
Looks very guilty. So when there's other men going around looking for any kind of sign and they find an old whip, and this whip belonged to Brownlow, and they found it up there near Jenny's cabin where she was abducted from. Well, he claimed to have been there that day, all right, before that he had came there and was actually going to talk to Miss Jenny, Miss Papworth. And, of course, nobody knew. There was no way to say, no, you didn't come here. You know, it's always like it's almost better to admit to being there instead of, no, I've never been there. Right. You're like, yeah, I went there and talked to her. You know, there's lots of things you can admit to that actually ruins the story more than not admitting to it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So there was no way of doing it. So of course they start going and looking, but just because he said it, yeah, that's the way it was. Well, I guess we're going to have to start chasing Comanche. So they go to chasing Comanche, which is funny enough. They never found any sign of Native Americans anywhere around there. And they never found Jenny and the kids, nothing. So Charlie finally gets home. So when he gets home, of course he's told,
like, where's my wife?
Exactly.
And child?
Yeah. So he gets home. He's like, my kids, I've only got one kid left. What happened? Oh, the Indians got him. The Comanches took him. Oh, but they said the longer he was home and the more he looked at it and realized, he's like, man, I think this Brownlow dude is up to no good. Right? He's up. This something happened here. Well, of course, like you would imagine, back then, people, if they didn't like what happened and they could get enough of their friends to believe that you were guilty, well, we're just going to hang you. That's how it's going to be, right?
Right.
So Brownlow took advantage of this fact. And he sensed that, of course, he was being pointed out and cut out. So he stirred up a bunch of rumors about Charlie, the dad, that while he was gone, start saying that he was a thief. He's a thief and a horse rustler. He'll steal cattle. He'll steal anything that's not nailed down. And everybody was like, that's not him. That's not him at all. Like, there's, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't what he is. But enough people started believing Brownlow, because Charlie hadn't been there to defend himself during the time of his wife's disappearance, of course. And I'm sure people thought, you know, it was his fault that it happened anyway. So Brownlow got a bunch of his buddies together and gets them all out of there. And they forced Charlie, of course, out of his bed, tie his hands behind his back, put him on a horse. And Brownlow and six others, of course, hang Charlie Papworth in a big pecan tree right next to McDowell's hole. Well, they didn't want, of course, to be caught, right? So that whole group, the men that hung Charlie, took off because they didn't want anybody to find out. And Temple was, again, the only one that survived. So the next day, what's funny is Charlie, they actually found Charlie before they could get him hung. So they've abandoned him, left him tied up, beat up. Like, they beat the bark off of him, this whole deal, right? Took off. So whenever Charlie realizes that pretty much the town has turned on him and that it's just him and Temple and they don't really have anything else to do, what are they going to do? They leave. They take everything that they have, load it all up, and take off, and they move to Oklahoma. They're done with this whole thing. So he just, you know, you can imagine your world's been destroyed. So it says, as the story goes, that towards the end of his life, as he was dying, old man Brownlow said, "Hey, look, I was actually helping cattle rustlers back in the day and helping them sell stolen cattle, like fencing cattle, if you will, sell stolen cattle. We were selling horses, whatever we could steal that, you know, that," and he had a group of guys that was kind of working for him. And the story goes that Jenny, was out, I guess, with her boys and caught or witnessed something going down between Brownlow and a bunch of the others that were involved, these cattle rustlers. And so he had to shut her up. Right.
Right.
So he has to kill this old gal. And so that's what it is that she's been killed. And people say that there's a ghost that stays around McDowell's Hole and that you can tell every time you're there, because it'll get really, really cold, that people start having sightings of a woman again, right, floating over the top of the water. So that's one of the stories. But now there's a bunch of different stories here. And this is what I'm going to get into is it's not told exactly the same way. There's a story written by Mr. Bob Hopkins. All right, Bob Hopkins wrote a story for Texas Scapes, and it's about the McDowell Hole. And he writes in here that in 1855, a group of commissioned Texan scouts working for a band of raiding Comanches rumored to be in the territory rode their horses along the creek there in Erath County, and they stopped at this water hole. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And they start talking about all this. So they said that they see black smoke coming over this hill. So they go to investigate, and they find a young couple brutally murdered lying in their yard in a burning, small burning cabin. And not far from the couple lay the body of a small boy. All three had been savagely tortured, killed, and scalped. And the naked body of an infant was later discovered about 50 yards from the house. This time it says it was her small, lifeless body was found full of thorns with a rope tied around her feet that she had been dragged through to death through cactus. So it goes on talking about all this, right? And they get into these different deals. And they start talking about the Hickey family. That they said in 1921, they start talking about Jewel and Diletta Hickey were gathering water at Greens Creek, located near their home. So they go into this whole thing about Greens Creek. Now, listen to this. Right prior to this is that Greens Creek is where they buried the remains of these people that had been found, you know, killed by the natives. And it would be buried by this water area known as McDowell Hole. And then it jumps into in 1921 with the Hickeys living there at Green Creek on the way back to their house. It says that the 9-year-old Jewel, all right, Jewel Hickey,
uh-huh,
dropped her water buckets and began to run, looking down and behind her, terrified. And she said after reaching the house, she was exhausted, but after reaching the house crying, she said that a dog had chased her. And when her 6-year-old sister told her that she never saw a dog as she ran behind her, the little girl, Jewel, terrified, said that she never saw it either. That's what was so scary. She said the thing was growling and snapping at her legs, and I could hear it snarling, and I could hear it clapping and grinding its teeth together. So she said the whole time she was walking, she could hear that going down.
Wow.
And then she decided, oh, wait a minute. When it went to really, she dropped her buckets and took off when she took off the whole deal. So there is a lot of these stories that revolve around McDowell's Hole, but there's different parts to how it started. Like this young couple here, I don't know. If you read into the whole thing of the ghost of McDowell Hole, right?
Yeah.
And you start looking into it, you're going to find stories of the Hickeys. You're going to find stories that where they were chasing a band. Texas militia was actually chasing raiding Comanche parties. And again, where they found the cabin. And again, where you find that, oh, well, the little boy. Because here's another, the rest of the story. Let me throw this at you. Before Jewel, here's another part of the story that says it takes place in the 1850s. Said there was Texas militia were trailing a band of raiding Comanche near a creek bed in an area that would later become part of Erath County when they saw a column of smoke. So they go to investigate it. And what do they find? A burning cabin, the body of a young woman, a young man, and a boy. All three had been killed and scalped. And here we go. The body of an infant was not far away. It says the unit of which a young Wesley Hickey was a member buried the four bodies near a live spring that fed into a nearby creek, and that they put some non-inscribed stones up and said the Pioneer family was unknown and records of the event were not kept, but were passed down to the Hickey's family members. And ironically, 50 or so years later, Wesley Hickey's son, Joe, would purchase the very site in 1909, regardless of his father's warnings to stay away from there, known as McDowell's Hole. Hmm. So we don't hear any stories about Jenny, and we don't hear any stories about Charlie. And we know that they've had the three kids, but we know that only two of them were killed in one of the old McDowell stories holes, or right. McDowell Hole stories.
Yeah, because in the original story, Charlie and the Temple is leftover son yep. moved to Oklahoma.
And Brownlow was the one that killed them. But in these other stories, it's made out to sound just like Comanches killed them.
But they have there was no physical evidence that Comanches had anything to do with
Well, in the other stories, they've been scalped, they've been burned, which anybody can do. They don't talk about
Right, you could make it the crime scene definitely look like
they used to.
Right.
On the reg, that was a thing that was easily done, is that men would kill other men, stage it to look like a raiding party, and that was that.
Yeah.
Remember, that was always the old joke in all the Western movies, is if it was staged to look like, much like the one, I don't remember if you remember the movie Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
Remember, they kill their friends in there and they find, you know, raiding parties and stuff like that. But if you find horse tracks, well, the natives don't ride shod ponies. So they don't, there's no shoes, you know, you don't trim right. Natives never trim. They rode them down because they rode them all the time. So you don't have to put shoes on horses. You don't, you don't clip his hooves, nothing. The natives rode them down. So when you found one that was shod, you knew that it was actually more than. Now, of course, there is, it could have been a stolen horse and it just hadn't thrown its shoes, but things along those lines. But that's always in the old movies, is they don't ride shod ponies, you know.
Right,
of course,
yeah.
There's always. So it is funny that we still have these correlating lines that hook together on this whole story, right? But that it's not a, well, I'll give you this. The Hickeys still had more problems even when they moved there. So the story goes, maybe it was the Papworths or whatever that got killed originally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Hickeys, he helped bury the bodies. And then years later, his son bought the land the bodies were basically buried on, is what it was. Well, if you dig more into it, the Hickeys didn't have the best time down there. The Hickeys lost a wife to sickness. Joe did, the boy. There was, and that gets the whole thing. They go on in 1909. It says that young Joe Hickey, of course, his wife passed away. Him and his two children, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, a boy and a girl, were so upset, so tore up that they left that place and they bought a 104-acre farm along Greens Creek. It said from right outside, of course, this is south of Stephenville, from Ruby Long in Dublin, Texas. And the new farm was set just up the hill from the McDowell Hole, which had already, of course, gained notoriety, it says here, for sadness and in horror. So you go through it. There's a lot of history of things still going on around this creek. So definitely the stories may be a little misconstrued. Like, you know, we may not get the names exactly right. One of these has to be dead on the money, is as far as what was going on. I do know that there were things that went down in 1921. And when I'm talking about things that went down, like some real, like people passing away, strange things happening there, hearing crying in the middle of the night when there was no crying. People talk about walking down at dusk near the water and hearing crying down there by the water when there's nothing out there at the whole deal. There's even a story that jumps up that says in 1996, at the age of 80, all right, Mm-hmm. The second daughter, Diletta, what goes on that talks about them with the hickeys. Remember all the ones back then. She was 80 years old, and she published a book about her memories called Hickey Pioneers. It says the book is not a ghost story, but rather a family biography, but there's several chapters in it that describe the family's experiences with the ghosts of the McDowell Hole that says it lends to more evidence that there may be more to what went on there as far as with the hauntings. So I tell you all of that because this is going to be something that you and I are going to have to go check out.
Yeah,
it's too close, cool. Man. It is legitimately an hour away.
Man, the whole time I'm listening to you talk about McDowell's, all I can think about is McDowell's from the movie.
That boy good.
Yeah.
That boy good.
You know the
Randy Watson.
Yeah, they're remaking that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
not remaking it. They're making a sequel.
Okay, sequel.
They're making a sequel to it. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, man, totally. Erath County's not that far from here. I would totally like to go down there. I mean, of course, now it just looks like a washed out creek bottom or something. Probably.
That's exactly what it looks like. It's just an old bridge that goes over it, the whole thing. But I would like to go. You can go online and it will pinpoint. Well, right here. I'll show you the picture. That's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, see, that looks kind of like a washed out creek.
That's all it is. It's just an old washed out creek. To a place here.
I wonder if the people that own that are still the Hickeys, like if it's been passed down.
Well, we actually have some Hickeys that we know that live right down around there, and he was an awesome center fielder.
You know what I'm saying, though? It's like it's not that far away. It's just a couple of counties away, so I bet you that they probably are kin.
Oh, they have to be.
Right?
And if I find out that that's actually part of his family and we can get on that place.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We're going to do it. I'm going to reach out to him and find out.
Yeah.
I'll find out.
I bet you it probably is.
Because there's a really good chance that we can go down here and check this whole thing out. Not like we're going to see anything, but I mean, it would make a cool little video on us to talk about it.
Yeah, man. I like you when you share stories that are here local that I'm not even aware of. I've never heard of this in my entire life.
Well, and also, man, I love it when y'all listen and send us the stories of all those crazy local spots. If you dig in and you look for it, folks, it's there.
Yeah.
It's there. They're there at every little town. So go for it. Dig in, look around. You can find one of your own that's right here.
Yeah, and if you'd like to share some of those stories with me and Cam, please email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. If you want to sign up for that, go to the website, expandedperspectives.com, scroll down, click on the Elite tab. Signing up is easy. It's $5 a month. You'll get extra shows every month, as well as access to the entire back catalog. If you're more of a YouTube person, I know Cam's been diligently posting more videos over there on YouTube, trying to get caught up. You got more things to do indoors now that we're all being quarantined.
That's right.
And speaking of that, do you have any other indoor projects you're going to be working on the next couple weeks? Because it's not like you're going to be able to go out and do anything.
Actually, yeah. I'm trying to get it set up. I'm about 95% done with getting it where we can start doing our live stream.
Man, I would love to do that. I would like to get on that
real quick.
ASAP.
I'm going to try to have it finished up, everything that we need to get done by this weekend. And then hopefully we can go live by my game plan is to go live. This is what we're going to talk about doing. Do a live stream at the end of every month to talk about the shows
that we covered
covered that month.
That's a good idea.
People can ask us questions and all that stuff on YouTube. And then we're also talking about doing more field videos. Kyle and I've been doing some filming and whatnot, so we can pump some stuff out that way.
We need to do a lot. Like when we get the live thing going, we need to do like where people can call in or message in. I don't know how.
They can chat. You can check the chat in the live stream.
Yeah. We should do something like that where we can actually ask and answer questions.
We can do that.
Do people still Periscope? Is that still a thing? Or is that thing like when FaceTime first was invented, everybody did it for about a month?
No, that's a really good question. I haven't seen anything about Periscope in a long time.
We would be in the old studio, the original, the OG room. Yeah. And we would Periscope in and people would say, "Hey, what's up?" We'd usually do it right before we were about to record. Remember when I say always, I mean like four times. Right. That's not really always.
We need to start doing them like Facebook lives. We could do a Facebook live one weekend, you know, and do something like that. And then do it on YouTube, the YouTube live.
I've got more free time now because baseball season's been canceled. So I've got free time.
Yeah, we're going to look into that. We're checking into that whole deal. So yeah, we're fixed to start pumping out some more stuff on YouTube. But yeah, I'm going to release a video every day on YouTube until we get caught up.
And if you want to know about these videos and things like that, just follow the show on Instagram. Where else? Facebook,
Twitter
and stuff. I mean,
we don't put a lot of stuff on Twitter.
No, I don't tweet.
I don't like Twitter as much.
I just,
I'm an Instagram fan. That's where I get hung up. So yeah.
Yeah. So you can follow me and Cam personally on all forms of social media as well as the show.
Yep.
Please be safe out there. Try to stay home, wash your hands diligently, and things like that.
Open a door with your mouth instead of your hands. It's easier to spit out than it is to wash your hands.
Don't listen to Cam.
Don't do that.
Do not.
Okay.
Do that. Well, that's about all the time we have for this show. Till next time, folks. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.